So I've been away for a little bit. Real life takes up some serious time. On top of that, I don't know, CS is gone, Nico's gone, Alexander's gone. Doom Rules and Barbarossa haven't really been doing much. But, you know, I was talking to Stardusk the other day and I watched a few Coda Re videos and I thought, yeah, maybe I should make something. So I thought maybe I should share a couple of insights that have sprung from my life and the life of my friends over the last couple of months. So let's get this show on the road. And I'll start off with two related anecdotes. So one friend of mine has a Toyota 86. It's a nice little sports car. And he just had a child. In fact, I visited him the day the child was born. And he said to me, I'm going to have to sell the sports car now and get something more family friendly because, you know, I can't put a baby seat in the back of the 86. Now, mind you, his wife has a Mazda 3. So, I mean, they have got a car, like a family, they already have as a couple a family friendly car that can get a child to daycare or whatever. The second friend of mine recently just found out that his wife was pregnant. Now, he's got a turbocharged MX-5, and he actually broke the news to me that, you know, his wife was pregnant by straight up saying, I'm going to have to get a family-friendly car now. Like, ostensibly, I get it. Like, you know, your lifestyle's changed and you need to accommodate those new factors, but I look at it from my perspective where I'm not really beholden to anyone. I mean, I got run over by an unlicensed drunk driver. The day my insurance money came through, I went straight down to the bike shop and ordered a new Harley Davidson. Yeah, if I was married, that joint purchase would be a hard sell. Yeah. Hey, honey, I know I almost just got killed, but I want to go and drop $20,000 on a new bike. Yeah, in March, my bike will be paid off, and I'm actually thinking about getting a second Harley Davidson specifically set up for cross-country touring. Trying to convince your wife that for some reason you need not one but two Harley Davidsons? Yeah, good fucking luck with that. Oh, by the way, honey, I just dropped several grand on an 88 Range Rover Classic with a 350 Corvette engine in the front. Yeah, it doesn't really run well right now, but it's going to be an awesome off-road toy once it's fixed up. Now, I'm not saying this to brag. You know, look at all the stuff I've got. Man, I'm on an average Australian wage. If you've got an average job, you can have what I have too. What I'm talking about here is really the negotiation, specifically the fact that I don't have to negotiate to get the things that I want. You know, if I can afford it, I can get it. No questions asked. I don't have to justify it to anyone. As soon as you're married, as soon as there are, you know, joint assets, every purchase then has to be justified to somebody else. And that can actually become quite a problem. You know, frivolous spending on shoes aside, women are actually incredibly utilitarian when it comes to purchases of things like, you know, motor cars. A perfect example would be the Land Rovers. The Discovery Series is one of the most capable off-road cars on the market. Like, it's just incredible. The traction control system in that thing is just amazing. And yeah, ever since the original Range Rover, Land Rover have really set a lot of the baseline standards of what's expected in a four-wheel drive vehicle. But the interesting thing about the Discovery is once you actually get it back onto the bitumen, the adjustable airbag suspension is so comfortable. The only car I've ever been in that's been more comfortable than the Land Rover is a Rolls-Royce. You know, but when it comes to the purchasing decision, you know, honey, what about the Land Rover? It's, oh, the reliability, oh, the cost of maintenance. You know, in the end, you end up buying based on what she wants. You end up spending $80,000 on a fucking Toyota Land Cruiser, which Don't get me wrong, it's a capable off-road car, but you know, it's very agricultural. There's not a lot of trimmings. You can take it off-road, but by the time you get back home, you're going to have no teeth because they've all rattled out of your head. But, you know, that Toyota reliability, right? Now, I'm kind of getting off topic here. I mean, we could talk all day long about the benefits of being single, because it's not really a linear spectrum. The benefits of being single don't exactly mirror the pitfalls of being in a relationship, because some of those troubles are unique to the structure of relationships themselves. This particular video is actually about the contradiction of relationship motives. I've always found it hilarious, you know, the accusation from pro-marriage guys and even some conservative women that, oh, you just haven't met the right woman yet. There's no such thing as the right woman. There's just such a thing as a woman. And make no mistake, a wife is a woman, and she has the same womanly wants and desires she's always had. It fucking baffles me that these pro-marriage guys don't get this simple fact, but just because you've put a ring on it doesn't mean all her internal interests are suddenly going to shift. You know, she's married now with a kid. That doesn't mean she's going to magically start getting tingles in her lady parts every time she sees some beta cuck drive past in a Kia minivan. Now, don't get me wrong, as a motor enthusiast myself, I think Kias are pieces of shit. But I'm not shaming your manhood if you drive one. I mean, drive whatever you want. If motor cars aren't an interest to you, that's perfectly fine. The thing here, though, is that my opinion doesn't really matter. What we're talking about is what women find attractive. Now, I know, not all women are like that, bloody blah, you know, leave your complaints in the comment section about what a misogynist I am or whatever. But the fact is that the type of car you drive, specifically if it's like a luxury car or a high-performance sports car, that does telegraph things like, you know, your resource base and your social status and your propensity to take risk. That matters in the sexual marketplace. Women look at that. So with that in mind, you've really got to ask yourself, what are the ramifications when a woman, you know, is attracted to a guy, initially attracted to a guy and starts dating a guy, in part due to things like, you know, his motorcycle or his sports car or his penthouse condo. And then once things get serious, oh, there's a kid on the way, you know, get rid of the motorcycle, trade in the sports car for a minivan, you know, sell the condo and buy some shitbox house out in the suburbs. The utilitarian choices that a woman will make in a long-term relationship are diametrically opposed to the very things that she found attractive in the guy in the first place. That, my friends, is the great contradiction. Relationships are a self-defeating prophecy in a lot of ways. There was a joke in a movie, I can't remember what it was, but it was about how women say they want a nice guy, but what they really want is a bad boy who'll fuck them on the back of a motorcycle and then not call them for a week. See, I actually think it's worse than that. See, women are attracted to the bad boy. What they actually want to do is they want to capture the bad boy and then convert him into the nice, stable, you know, yoked provider workhorse. But in doing so, she turns the guy into somebody that she's fundamentally not attracted to anymore. Without going into any kind of salacious detail, the last two women I've slept with have both been married. Neither of them were having sex with their husbands anymore. And when I asked them why they were still together, they basically both responded with the same answer. You know, he's a good husband, he's a good father. Make of that statement what you will, but the fact is that what women want long-term from a mate versus what they're immediately attracted to are two conflicting internal interests. And, you know, we're not talking trashy stripper mums here. I'm like, these girls are like your girl-next-door suburban soccer mums. You'd never suspect these women of fucking around. I mean, their husbands certainly don't. You know, just looking at the surface, like if you didn't know what I knew, these are the very kind of women that your trad-con, conservative, family-first types would be, you know, holding up as examples of, you know, the right type of woman that you need to meet. And I mean, essentially what it boils down to is that, yeah, I mean, the husband's a good workhorse provider, but he just doesn't sexually excite her anymore. And this is the thing that really worries me about my two friends, you know, selling their sports cars or whatever. And it's not even really just about cars and bikes. That's just like a convenient example. I mean, this goes for every aspect of male life. Women love my place. I've got a big ass, like, HD digital projector. I've got beer on tap. You know, I've got a pretty sweet setup, and they recognize this. Like, they see it as a, you know, it's a refuge from their own, you know, doldrum. It's a chilled out place. But you just know that if one of them moved in, it wouldn't be long before, you know, the projector's really cool, but it doesn't really work that well during the daytime. We need to get just a regular TV. You know, oh, the beer's cool and all, but if you want beer on tap, that can go out in the shed. Turn that into your man cave or whatever. Like, I've seen it before. I've had friends where the girlfriend would be around there, you know, every day for hours. It's like a nice refuge from her regular life. And then things get quote unquote serious and she moves in, and within a matter of months, the place is repainted fucking duck egg blue, and the whole place looks like a boring still life from some goddamn IKEA catalog. I'm not even sure that women are self-aware that they're actually doing this, but as soon as things get serious and she has some kind of equal decision-making power over the things that are happening in your life, she will slowly start to dismantle the very things that made her attracted to you in the first place. And when that happens, she will go out and, even if she stays with you, you know, you've put a ring on it, she will keep you around as the good husband, the good father, the good provider workhorse, but she will go out and fuck some guy that she does still find sexually attractive. If you're married, particularly to a girl who would be considered average to hot, mark my words, if you're not having sex, she is having sex with somebody. It's just that somebody isn't you. You get these guys like Rollo Tomasi, for example, who put forward the idea of marriage game, you know, that you can make it work, but you have to constantly, even though you're married, you have to be constantly gaming your wife. I mean, I'm incredibly skeptical of that. Like I said, given the types of married girls that I have fucked, you can't trust anyone, like seriously. But I mean, even to the extent that you could make that work, would you want to? I mean, constantly having to game the woman that you're married to just to get a reasonable outcome day to day, is it worth it? I mean, for me personally, I don't think so. I think it's a no-brainer. I'm quite happy living my own life, doing my own thing. I get to keep my Harley. I'm possibly going to buy another Harley. And, you know, at the end of the day, these good married women that the conservatives are trying to convince you that you should support, you know, they still want to fuck bad boys like me on the sly. So I don't know. Like, what is the benefit of marriage? I don't. Yeah. Shit. You do the maths for yourself. Anyways, I'm going to go off and get some more beer. You guys all have a good one.